Hello, this is Natasha. And Bertie has asked me to tell you the story of Good King Wenceslas, which is also a very beautiful and famous Christmas carol, which you may remember goes like this. Good King Wenceslas last looked out on the Feast of Stephen. The Feast of Stephen, by the way, is the day after Christmas, otherwise known as Boxing Day. In history, Good King Wenceslas was really a duke, and he ruled Bohemia in Central Europe about 1,000 years ago. He's now patron saint of the Czech Republic, and the main square in the capital city, Prague, is named after him. Story Nori is getting a bit sentimental these days, and I'd like to dedicate this story to my dad, who's a real hero, just like Good King Wenceslas. On Christmas Day, as was his custom, on this special day every year, Duke Wenceslas visited each of the servants and soldiers in his castle and pressed a gold coin into his or her hand. The Duke walked through the cold stone passageways in the lower depths of his castle. As he stepped through the kitchen door, a fierce heat struck his face, and the smell of roast meat filled his nostrils. Two servants were turning swans on a giant spit over the fire. Elsewhere, men and women, young and old, were busy with fetching, rolling, shouting, stuffing, stirring, scouring, scraping, and all the other tasks of the kitchen. Those who saw him enter stopped their work and bowed deeply. His page called out,
line up for the Duke.
And the kitchen staff scuffled around, arranging themselves in order of rank, from the head cook to the young scullery maid who was just 11 years old. Each of the servants received a gold coin from the hand of their ruler, with the words, "May the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, who was born on this day, bless you and watch over you." After the kitchen, the Duke proceeded to the guardhouse, and then to the laundry, and then to the maids of the bed chambers, and then to the stables. Last of all, he visited the dungeons. The jailers received his blessings and gold, and the prisoners received just his blessings. He spoke last to an old woman prisoner. He looked into the woman's eyes and saw that they were piercing blue. She must have been quite a beauty in her youth. He felt sorry that her life and folly had brought her to this dark prison cell on Christmas Day.
"What is her crime?" he asked the jailer.
"My lord, she is a priestess of the old school. She performed pagan rites and led the people in the worship of false gods."
At this, Duke Wenceslas said sadly,
"'Tis a pity. Had she been guilty of a lesser crime, had she been guilty even of murder, I would have set her free to go home and to die in her bed among her family."
And then he turned to the old woman.
"Do you not see how the Christian religion teaches mercy and kindness? This Christmas Day I have pressed gold into the hands of the lowliest servant in my castle. Are you not impressed by my good works in the name of Jesus Christ? Do you not renounce the devil and your gods and come to the true Saviour? Only say the words, 'I do,' and you shall be rid of your chains for Christmas Day."
And the priestess lifted her grey head and fixed the Duke with her blue eyes.
"The scummiest jailer in your castle is a lord in comparison to peasants outside. You have no idea what it means to live in a hovel, to freeze in depths of winter, to have rags for clothes and a few sticks of fire. Throw coins to your grovelling servants if it makes you feel good before you stuff yourself with rich food. but don't talk to me of your false charity."
As it was Christmas Day, the Duke did not order the woman to be whipped. He just shook his head at her insolence and her missed chance of freedom. But as he climbed the winding stone stair back to the lighter world of his busy castle, her words were turning in his heart. And when he saw his servants going about their work, briskly but smiling, he thought, "Yes,
you are the lucky few."
He no longer felt satisfied with his Christmas routine. He ordered his servants to bring him his fur-lined cloak, boots, gloves and hat. Another servant strapped a sword to his side. The head stable boy brought his horse out into the courtyard and placed a small ladder against its side. Snow was already flecking the Duke's beard as he stood and waited for all to be ready. And then he clambered onto his mount and rode through the gates of the castle, followed by just a page on a grey mare.
"Boy," he called back to the page, "were you born in a village?"
"Oh no, sire, I was born in a castle," replied the boy.
"Do you have any relatives in a village?"
"Oh yes, sire. My grandmother lives in a village not far from here."
"Well, take me there,"
said the Duke.
And when they arrived in the village, they found the boy's grandmother at the drinking well, known as the Fount of St. Agnes. She was using a long pole, a branch broken off a birch tree, and ramming it down into the well to break the ice.
"Here, give the good lady some gold," said the Duke,
which the page gladly did. At this, the other peasants of the village, who until now had been plodding through the snow on their business, came rushing over from all sides to beg the Duke for money.
"Back, back!"
cried the page boy. The Duke took a handful of coins and scattered them on the ground. The peasants dived on them like a flock of birds on some crumbs of bread. The Duke returned to his castle to resume his Christmas worship and festivities. But instead of feeling better for his generosity, he somehow felt troubled by it. As he celebrated the last Christmas of the millennium, the image of the priestess in the dungeon was always in his mind. The next day, the feast day of St. Stephen, there was boxing and jousting in the tiltyard throughout the afternoon and evening. But the Duke's heart was still not fully in the celebrations. He stood up from his place in the banqueting hall and went up onto the ramparts of the castle to take in the cold, fresh air. It was a clear, moonlit night. He looked out towards the village that he had visited that day before. He saw a peasant wandering across the fields, bending down every now and then to pick up sticks for the fire.
"Page, page," he called out,
for his attendant was never far away.
"Bring me food from my table, the best bits, and bring wine, and fetch some logs for the fire. I intend to go out and give these things to that man. Hurry, hurry now. I shall wait for you by the gates of the castle."
The Duke took the winding stairs down to the courtyard. Servants brought him his fur-lined clothes and boots.
"No, no," he said. "I shall go without them."
And instead he took off his shoes and stood on the snow-covered cobbled stones. His feet were entwined in woollen strips, but that was their only covering. The stable boy stood by with the Duke's horse.
"Follow me," the Duke said to his page. "We are going on foot."
And seeing that his master was not wearing a coat or hat, the poor page felt disrespectful as he put on his own clothes. But the master did not seem to take notice. The Duke and the boy walked out through the gates of the castle, their arms filled with gifts. The servants shook their heads, convinced that not only had their duke gone mad, but that he would catch his death of cold. The peasant was heading for the village, and the duke and the boy hurried after him. The duke's almost bare feet sank deep into the snow, but he did not seem to notice the cold. He strode on, propelled by some sort of superhuman strength. The poor page boy felt the chill coming up through the soles of his boot and through his whole body. The wind cut into his face, and he rubbed his nose to stave off frostbite.
"Sire, sire!" he called out. "My strength is failing me."
At first the duke did not hear him. Only when the boy called out, "I cannot go on," did he halt his progress across the snow. He turned round and saw the boy had fallen to his knees. Duke Wenceslas looked back to the castle. Although the night had grown darker, he could clearly see his footsteps all the way back. They were luminous like the moon.
"Good boy," he said. "Stand up and place your feet on my footsteps."
And Paige, who was used to obeying his duke's every command, gathered his strength and rose to his feet.
"Hear, hear," said the duke. "This is my step. Place your foot on top of it."
And the boy, seeing the pale blue glowing footsteps, placed his foot on the spot of the duke's footstep and sunk into the snow. Then he lifted his other foot and placed it in the footstep behind. Instead of cold, he felt warmth and energy rising through his body. The duke carried on ahead, and the boy followed behind, now feeling as full of life and energy as if he were striding across a meadow full of lambs one day in spring. The duke and the page caught up with the man just before he reached his village. They gave him their gifts, for which he thanked and blessed them. And on his return to the castle, the duke set the pagan priestess free from the jail. And that was the story of Good King Wenceslas. Bertie says that this story is based on the Christmas Carol.
Against the forest. Saints, by Saint Agnes Fountain. Bring me flesh and bring me wine, bring me pine logs here.
Music for Good King Wenceslas was performed for Story Nori by Gabriella Brunel and Jamie McCready. For now, from me, Natasha, bye-bye!